Welcome to today's session. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today. We are going to continue with our study out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is a verse-by-verse study. If you are new to the podcast, welcome. And friend, hopefully you have listened to the previous sessions out of the Gospel of Luke, and you have listened to the Gospels of Mark and Matthew. And I ask that you share these teachings with others. And as you are being blessed by this, please send us an email or leave me a comment, and then like it and share it. We want to know how these teachings are blessing you, because we trust God that He is using it to transform your life. So today we are in Luke chapter 5. It is a lengthy chapter, so I will do multiple sessions out of this chapter. But let's take a closer look at these upcoming verses here. The gist of these upcoming verses is that the Lord Jesus would call out His first disciples, okay? His first century disciples. And before I even continue, I want to begin by just defining that word disciple, because some people are not sure. And actually recently I had somebody ask me this question: who really is a disciple? And am I a disciple of Jesus Christ, or does that word disciple only pertains to the original 12? Well, let me address the first question. That word disciple pertains to the original 12 disciples during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and all of us today in the 21st century who are followers of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because that word disciple just means a learner or a student. It refers to someone who is learning and studying under the leadership of someone else. The first century disciples were studying the kingdom of God under the leadership of Jesus Christ, the Messiah Himself, the best teacher ever. Today, as 21st century followers of Jesus Christ, we are all disciples because we are following Him. We are students under His word, the word of God. And being a disciple is an ongoing learning. So we are ongoing students learning the word of God, learning the revelation of Christ in the scriptures as the Holy Spirit helps us. Okay, another example is most Bible teachers like myself, pastors, are also disciples because we teach others the word of God. As we receive revelation from the Holy Spirit, we impart that revelation onto others. Say, as an example, for those of you who are following me in this Bible teaching podcast, you are disciples because you're learning the word of God under my Bible teaching leadership as anointed by God. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are learning, you are studying the kingdom of God. Okay, now with that definition, let's get into the verses proper. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret — the lake of Gennesaret is also called the Sea of Galilee — the people were crowding around Him and listening to the word of God. Okay, of course, the Lord Jesus, being the perfect teacher that He was teaching the word of God right around the Sea of Galilee there, and people, the crowd, were just listening. Verse 2, He, referring to the Lord Jesus now, He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nest. Verse 3, He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Isn't that something, how the Lord Jesus just got into Simon Peter's boat and gave him orders to get closer to the shore? Wow. You know what was happening here? The Lord Jesus already knew He was going to call out Simon Peter, as one of his first century disciples. So he was revealing himself to Simon Peter. I just love it how God would reveal himself to us. We continue here with the end of that verse. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. This is the Lord Jesus now. We are now in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nest for a catch." Isn't this something? Apparently, as we are going to find out, Simon Peter obviously was a fisherman, and he had fished all night and was unsuccessful. And the Lord Jesus just approached him and said, "Get your boat closer to the shore." And now the Lord Jesus is giving him instructions to cast the net again, down deep into the water. Wow. Let's move on to verse 5 and find out what would happen here. And there is a major principle here for us. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nest." Now, there is a principle here. Simon had been out all night fishing, and it is well known that the best time to catch specific types of fishes, or generally the best time to fish is at night. And then during the day, it becomes more difficult to do fishing. So Simon is like, "I've spent all night right here at the Sea of Galilee and I caught nothing. And now you want me to do that?" But listen to what Simon Peter said. "But because you say so, I will let down the nest." So Simon Peter, though he questioned Jesus, but guess what he did? He obeyed, friend. The principle here is that before we even continue, there are times in our lives when we have done something over and over and over. We failed at a business, we failed at multiple businesses, we failed at several relationships, we've just failed in many things. And then when we surrender that thing to God, and when God tells us to do the same thing, even though we've done it multiple times, please don't discount that. Obey and do it. Because this time you're doing it under the leadership and promptings of God, and it's going to work. Unfortunately, many people just give up after many trials. What we need to do when we are doing something, we need to, number one, invite God in anything that we are doing. Seek leadership from the scripture, pray about it, submit our plans to God. And when we are not seeing success, we should not give up. We should continue to pray. We should continue to seek God's wisdom and direction. And God may ask us to go back and do the same thing again that we had been doing. We should just do it and obey God, okay? Because it could just be that the first few times that you were doing it on your own effort. Mm-hmm. It could just be that the first time you started that business, you were doing it on your own wisdom. The first time you started that relationship, you did it your way. And God wants you to do it His way this time. So the best thing you could do is exactly what Simon Peter did here. He obeyed. And let us find out the results of that obedience. We are now in verse 6. When they had done so, meaning that they obeyed God. Now, there is a they here. So there are multiple of them, at least in the boat. And we will find out later on that Simon Peter was in the fishing business with partners, John and James. They were all together in the fishing business, and they were all there at this time when the Lord Jesus was giving Simon this order. So verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nest began to break. Exactly. So when they obeyed, even though they had toiled all night, they had suffered all night, no result. During the day, Jesus, one word from God, come on somebody, one word from God will change your entire destiny if you obey. Oh, come on, are you getting this? I am blessed by this, because we could keep doing something over and over and it is tiring and But when God says, do it again, do it. So Simon Peter obeyed, and they got so much fish, they could barely get the nest out. This is a classic example of God telling us that he can meet our needs exceedingly abundantly. And that is out of Ephesians 3:20, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly according to the power that is in us. That power is a power of faith, power of obedience. We obey God. Again, I was just paraphrasing Ephesians 3:20. But so they had obeyed, and the blessings of God, the provisions of God in abundance had been manifested. Verse 7, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Oh, when God blesses us, he does it abundantly, exceedingly. God is still willing to just flow in our lives so we can have access, but we have to believe him for access. Do you believe God for access? Whatever you're believing God for today, go above and beyond. Let's say you're believing God for $500. How about you dare believe God for $1,000? Because God is willing to bless us abundantly, exceedingly. But our limited mind, we limit God. We go to God, oh God, could you just give me that $100 there? And God is willing to give you $200. So stretch your imagination. Just be bold and ask God for more, because he is willing. Oh, glory to God. So now, we continue here in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, meaning when he saw this miracle, when he saw this abundance, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. This is amazing. And there is another principle here. Simon Peter recognized his sinfulness. He recognized his sin. Full nature. Friend, before we can truthfully receive from God, before we can receive true repentance, which begins with salvation, we need to realize and recognize that we are sinners, that we need to be delivered from that sinful nature. When we miss the mark, even when we are Christians, we miss the mark, we have to come to true recognition that we sinned, okay, and true repentance. Then we opened the door for God's blessings to pour into our lives. So Simon Peter, seeing the power of God, the miracle of God, the blessings of God, just acknowledged right away, I'm a sinner. Friend, when you miss the mark, do you recognize, do you acknowledge you are a sinner? And if you've listened to me, you've heard me say this over and over and over, that there are three major things that need to happen when we are truthfully repentant. We need to recognize that we've sinned. And this recognition cannot be coerced. We have to, in our own heart, come to the place we recognize that we've wronged against God, because all sin is against God. We have to willingly, not be coerced, recognize and come to God and say, God, I am sorry. And number three, we have to stop practicing the sin. So the first step of any true repentance is recognizing that you sin, you are a sinner. So this is what we are learning here. This is awesome. So if you miss the mark, and I'm talking to you now, listening to me. If you've sinned, you've done something wrong, and you think you can just say, oh, God, forgive me, but you've not come to true realizing, recognizing that you sinned, it's not gonna work. You have to recognize that you made a mistake, because it is through true recognizing your error that true repentance and healing takes place, okay? All right, verse 9. So Simon Peter had said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. So we are now in verse 9. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Verse 10. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. As I had said, John and James were brothers. Obviously, John, the beloved John, who would later write the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation, were fishermen. So we move on here. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So Simon was just so astonished. And the fear here is not pathological fear with anxiety. It was more of a reverential awe. When anyone have an encounter, a true encounter with God, man, that reverential awe is always evident. Just to honor the holiness and the goodness of God. So the Lord Jesus was like, don't be afraid. You will be fisher of men. Again, I am just paraphrasing that. Verse 11, so they pulled their boats up on the shore. They left everything and followed him. So here we are learning how Simon Peter, James, and John, they left their fishing business and followed Jesus as disciples, as students, to learn about the kingdom of God, because they would turn around and spread that message, and millions would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. They left everything. Friend, I want to talk about this. They just left their business. Again, this is not a recipe for you to shut down your business and go work for God. God is not calling each of us. God is not calling everyone to abandon their business to become a full-time minister or pastor or missionary or whatever. But God will call certain people to quit their earthly careers and become 100% dedicated into full-time ministry. If that is not what God is calling you to do, don't quit your business, okay? The principle here is that when we are learning that they left everything and followed him, the principle is that when we come to Christ, God is asking for 100% dedication and allegiance to him. You can still have your job or your business, but even in that business, you're 100% sold out to God. You become the light and the salt to wherever you go. All your decisions are filtered through the lens of the Word of God. You allow the Holy Spirit working in you to live your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. You die to yourself and you choose to live for Christ. And you be a 100% disciple no matter where you are. Okay, so don't think that you have to quit your business. No, you can still engage in your business as a nurse, as a doctor, as a fisherman, as a business owner, and still really work for God 100% through your lifestyle. And you just share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with those that you encounter on a day-by-day basis, all right? So that is a principle there. So we move on to verse 12. Verses 12 all the way to 15 here. We will learn about the Lord Jesus' healing ministry. Verse 12, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. You know, leprosy, if you're not familiar, back then, is rarely seen in the 21st century. At least back then, during the first, second century, was a highly contaminated disease that affected the nerves and caused crippling of the digits and the limbs. And because it was so highly contaminated or contagious, when you had leprosy, in accordance with the Old Testament law of Moses that God had given Moses to the nation of Israel, we discussed this in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, you would go into isolation until you are healed. You would go into isolation because there was no cure and you couldn't be allowed to mingle with the community. That way you do not spread the leprosy. So it was a disease that came with a lot of shame and pain and isolation. And I'm sure depression because of the loneliness. So this man came to Jesus. He was just covered with leprosy. Just for this man to come to Jesus, that was boldness. Because he wasn't supposed to come to Jesus, but he came in boldness. And that was faith right there. And we would see how the Lord would respond. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh boy, do you see faith here? This man came to Jesus. That is faith, just going. When he saw Jesus, this is the man who had leprosy, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Again, this man had reached out to Jesus in faith, knowing that he was going against the Mosaic law, but he needed to be healed. He acted in bold faith and said, Lord Jesus, if you are willing. Let's find out how the Lord responded, because this is a big lesson for us. Verse 13, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now, a couple of things are going on here. Remember, I explained earlier that leprosy was a very contagious disease. So, if you touched somebody who had leprosy, you would have that disease. But we see how the Lord Jesus is exerting power and authority over sicknesses and diseases. He touched that man. He touched that man, and he did not get leprosy. And also by touching that man, that was a touch of love, that was a touch of compassion, that was a touch that I am your healer, I am here with you, I understand. Oh, come on, don't you just love it when Jesus touches us? He has already touched us. Have you received his compassion in your life? So going back here, verse 13, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be cleaned. And immediately the leprosy left the man. Did you hear what the Lord Jesus said? He said, I am willing, friend. The Bible teaches us out of Hebrews 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus Christ is still willing right now for you to receive healings in any area of your body. Whatever you have been attacked with, diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety, depression, Jesus is still willing. Healings have not passed away. I went in depth discussing this in the previous session. If you have been taught a lie, if you have believed a lie that Jesus Christ is not healing today, that healings and miracles passed away with the apostles, that is a lie. The Bible is so clear, the healing virtue, the healing power of God is still available right now. Hebrews 13, 8. But you have to open your heart and receive that healing. You have to renew your mind, change the way you think, and receive that healing. And friend, I don't really want to get into teaching on healings, but I have two resources I want to highly recommend you get. I highly recommend you get my testimonial book, How I Received Divine Healing from the Lord from Metastasis Colon Cancer over 15 years ago. This is a teaching handbook that will teach you how to change your thinking, how to receive healing. This book has transformed thousands of lives. I get testimonial every month. Dozens of people receive healings, and they get the revelation about receiving healings today from this book. It's a book that shared my testimony and teach you how to receive healing of any disease, and teaches you how to be prepared to walk in divine healing. It's not just for people who are sick with cancer, it's for people who are sick with any disease, it's for people who are not ill, but it prepares you in the event that you get attacked. Please get this book. If you live overseas, it is on Amazon. But if you live in the continental USA, please get it from us, because it comes to us as a donation. It's about 355 or so pages. So the book itself is a donation of $25 and then shipping and handling. So we are asking for $33 and we ship that to you. You will get that within a few days. And again, the book is called Healed by the Stripes of Jesus. You can visit our website. The book has its own website. It is drruthhealingtestimony.com. And we will attach the link in the description box. And there are many ways you can donate into this ministry. For a donation of $33 or more, visit our website, drruthtiny.org/donate. And donate right there, $33, and just right there is for the book, Healed by the Stripes of Jesus. We will send that to you. We are also on Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. And you can Zelle in your donation if you live in the USA. The Zelle telephone number is 909 501-903-1. Okay, again, we thank you in advance for your donation of $33. We will ship this book out to you today. And we will add all of this in the description box right here in this Podbean channel. Again, the book is Healed by the Stripes of Jesus, a true story of God's unconditional love and grace. My story, my miracle, how I overcame metastasis colon cancer. You can be healed too. So please get that book today. And also, I have another book that I believe will also help you. This one is titled Faith to Receive God's Promises, How to Walk in Biblical Faith and Allow the Blessings of God to Chase You. This is also a book that I wrote based on the revelations I got from the Holy Spirit fighting cancer, how to stir and strengthen my faith to receive any promise from God. In this book, I discuss 14 laws that govern true Bible faith, such as the law of God's love, the law of God's grace. If you know how much God loves you, your faith would be stirred and you will be well positioned to receive anything from God. So this book again, Faith to Receive God's Promises, How to Walk in Biblical Faith and Allow the Blessings of God to Chase You. If you live overseas, it is on Amazon. If you live in the continental USA, get it from us. This one is $20 donation. We will also add the link in the description box here on this Podbean channel. I thank you for getting these resources. It will bless you and bless us. So we continue here. We are now back in Luke chapter 5. We are in verse 14. Then Jesus ordered him, after the Lord Jesus had laid his hand on the man who had leprosy, and the Lord Jesus had said, I am willing. The man was instantly cured, healed totally from leprosy. The Lord Jesus gave this man specific orders in verse 14. Jesus said, don't tell anyone. Here again, we see that secret motive I had discussed in the Gospel of Mark, that the Lord Jesus would perform all these healing miracles and tell people not to tell. Why? Because his God-ordained time to reveal his full identity as the Messiah to the public had not come. So he would tell people not to tell. Okay? And also, he did not want people to just follow him just to receive healings. He wanted enough time to teach the kingdom of God and perform all of the miracles and really fulfill the task of the Messiah that had been prophesied in the Old Testament. Then, at God's ordained timing, he would disclose his full identity as the Messiah. But whenever the Lord Jesus would tell people not to tell, people would go tell anyway. Oh my goodness, it's really hard to receive so much from the Lord and not to want to share that. Okay, so back to verse 14 here. The Lord Jesus has said, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. As I had mentioned earlier, if you were to go and look at Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, God had given Moses these instructions. When somebody believed they had been cured of leprosy, the priest had to inspect them before they can get back into the community, and they had to offer certain sacrifices. You can find that in Leviticus chapter 14. So we see the Lord Jesus upholding the Mosaic law. We see the Lord Jesus obeying God's law. Jesus is the law. Jesus is the Word of God incarnate, the living Word of God. And we see the Lord Jesus obeying God's law. Friend, what about you? If Jesus, God in the flesh, the incarnate Word of God, the living Word of God, would obey and uphold God's law, likewise, we should obey God's law, okay? Verse 15, yet the news about him spread all the more. So the Lord Jesus had healed this man, and the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Awesome. So I want to end this session here because we've discussed a lot. So what are the major principles and applications from this, first 15 verses out of Luke chapter 5? Number one, obedience, okay? Number two, healing. And the key application here is that obedience to God's word is what would open the door for God's blessings to chase you. I already talked about Peter's obedience and the Lord Jesus obeying God's law. Friend, whatever you do, the Lord Jesus himself teaches out of the Gospel of John chapter 15 that if you love him, you would obey him. Mm-hmm. Obeying God's law is the key way we show the world and we show ourselves and others that we love God. So are you obeying God? Are you living in accordance with God's word? Are you obeying God's decrees? When God says do something, you obey God, you do it, because obedience is good for you. It's not for God, because it is through obeying God that we receive the best from him. When God says, give into my work, you give. Even if you don't have, you give what you can, because God loves a cheerful giver. When God says to serve, you serve. When God says to forgive, you forgive. When God says, do not let the sun go down and don't be angry all day, all night, you obey, because it's good for you. Obedience is good for you, it's good for your heart, it's good for your relationship with God. It opens the door for God's blessings to chase you effortlessly. So obedience is a key here, and of course healing. I had talked a lot about that God is still healing today. And most importantly, I want to just talk to you if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. I am paraphrasing John 3:16. Are you a whosoever? He died for you. Have you come to recognizing that you are a sinner? Have you come to recognizing that you have a sinful nature? Because every human being born into this world by a woman inherits that sinful nature from Adam and Eve, our first human ancestors who sinned. As recorded in Genesis chapter 3, who transgressed God's law and mankind fell from grace. So if you've not asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to redeem you, deliver you from that sinful nature, just as we are learning here that Simon Peter recognized his sinful nature, likewise, you have to recognize your sinful nature and come to true repentance and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, the Bible teaches that it is simple. All you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God 100%, man 100%. He is the Messiah. Believe that he died on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago, and on the third day he was raised from the dead, and he is alive. If you believe that in your heart and you confess that, the Bible says that you shall be saved. Because Jesus Christ is the only human being in the history of the world who is the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Salvation comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The Bible teaches us that very clearly. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 teaches clearly, there is only one name given unto mankind by which salvation must come, the man Jesus Christ. So if you believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your personal sins and he's available to redeem you, to deliver you from that sinful nature, if you believe that in your heart and you want to just confess that, just repeat this prayer after me. It's really believing in your heart that matters. You just confessing this as a position of faith. Just pray with me. Dear God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Today, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died for my personal sins, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. Today, I receive the forgiveness of my sins. I ask you, dear Jesus, to come into my heart. I choose you as my personal Lord and Savior. By faith, I believe you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you said that genuinely, you've chosen the only Messiah, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior, and by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ has come on the inside of you. In the form of His Holy Spirit, He is living on the inside of you. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit now lives on the inside of you. And you have been sealed by God the Holy Spirit out of Ephesians 1:13. And you are a child of God. You are a child of light. You have been delivered, redeemed from that sinful nature. Welcome into God's kingdom, the kingdom of light. Friend, contact me so I can send you a free book and teach you how to grow in this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Welcome. And for all of you who have been listening to me, thank you. I just trust God that you have been blessed. And please remember to visit our website to get that book, my testimonial healing book, Healed by the Stripes of Jesus, and to get the book on faith to receive God's promises. Again, to do that, you just visit our website, drruthtanya.org/donate, or you can go to the book's website, which is drruthhealingtestimony.com. We are also on Zelle. If you live in the continental USA, the number is 909-501-9031. And then we are also on Cash App. The address is $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. For a donation of $33, we will ship out Healed by His Stripes of Jesus to you. And for a donation of $20, we will ship out the book on faith. We thank you in advance for your love gift donation, and these books will bless you, and your donation will bless us too, as we will put the money back into this Bible teaching podcast to pay for studio time. So let us just thank God for today's lesson. Father God, we thank you for today. I thank you for all the listeners, Lord God, that their hearts have been stirred. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are just teaching them specifically how to stay obedient to you. I just thank you that your blessing is chasing them, your peace and your love. Today, I just declare and I decree that each listener will experience a day full of your joy, full of your goodness and your grace. You are such a good God. We thank you for answering this prayer. And I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. God loves you.
Today is a day the Lord has made, so rejoice in it as you proceed with the rest of your day. I am Chris Horam. Goodbye.